Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years of age, stop the podcast now. This is episode 147 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Daddy Harley Medic on leadership in the community. Here's your hosts, Woody and Chrissy.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting next to me is Chrissy. Hey, Chrissy, I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, Woody, it's good to see you.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
So you brought one of your friends along tonight.
I did. I brought a man that I met. Well, I met a lot of men, but this particular man I met at SELF, at Southeast Leatherfest this year in Atlanta. And he was doing a presentation on leadership, and I found it captivating and fascinating and asked him if he would please be a guest on our podcast, and he agreed.
So on the line with us is Daddy Harley Medic, also known as Mark. How are you, Mark?
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
We are good. Glad to have you with us. And so you have done some things in your life. My goodness.
Just a few.
Yeah. So you're a firefighter and a medic and all those happy things and take care of people and lead people. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. I like to make an impression.
It worked.
I like it when I leave the room and some people want to enter.
Yeah, there you go. So tell us how the firefighting medic works into the kink scene.
Well, it's really kind of it's interesting because as a firefighter and a paramedic, you have to have a strength of personality, effective strength of character, integrity, a lot of general leadership qualities that many people seek to have. At the same time, there's the caring, the compassionate side, the general interest in people's well-being, problem-solving skills, and a whole number of other things that come along that help us be effective and successful in what we do in the job. If you take those characteristics, those leadership characteristics, those caring and personal characteristics, the traits that we look for that we use in our field, we can apply those very effectively into the respective communities simply because if you are trying to be a leader or you desire to be a leader within the community, you have to have some of those same qualities. In fact, many of those same qualities. As I discussed with Chrissy and several other wonderful people that I met in Atlanta this August, if people regard you to have leadership characteristics within the community, they will want to hear what you have to say. They will know that you care for their well-being and you're willing to provide those. And so it's very easy to take those types of traits and relate them back to many of the titles and characteristics we hope to see within our leadership in the community.
Well said.
So based upon your experiences and relating that to our kink community, which is undergoing a huge growth spurt again, I think, right now, Do you see leaders that are embracing the qualities that you find so valuable, or is there a need for training?
There is always going to be a need for strong leadership. Therefore, there is always a need for continual training. You can take the most experienced people within the community, the people that have been around. You know, it's very easy to recognize that the community needs strong leadership at all times. Therefore, community needs continual training on leadership. So in that respect, I've been very fortunate that I had a key group of mentors that helped me and continue to help me, providing friendship, counsel, remedial training as I need it, and so forth. You can take anybody that's been in the lifestyle in the community 25, 30 plus years, and they may have a wonderful following and do things that help the community to grow. But as we say in the fire service, the first time that you show up to work and you don't learn something that day, it's time to hang them up and go home. Leadership is a continual training process, and it's something that needs to be reemphasized because today's senior members of leadership within the community are not going to be there forever, and so they have a responsibility for succession training, meaning as they are getting ready to leave the community for whatever reason, they need to be the ones focusing on the junior members of the community to provide for the next generation of leadership accordingly.
Yes, I agree with you completely. And I'm concerned because I see so many folks pop up and all of a sudden they're leaders because they run a munch, or they're leaders because they have an online group on FetLife, which is to me ridiculous. But somehow they've got this magic banner that they're a leader and people look to them for whatever advice or counsel or assistance, and they don't know what they're doing.
Well, right. When there's a vacuum, it draws in people that lead or try to lead or make believe they're leading.
Make believe.
Correct. And, you know, it's interesting because really, Chrissy, what you just described, taking a munch, taking a coffee time, coordinating an event, that's all well and good, but that's not leadership. That's management. And there is a distinct difference in management versus leadership.
How true.
Management in and of itself is a science. I can make people do what I need them to do to accomplish a specific goal. All right? I want to have 30 people come to my munch. I want to have 30 people come to my coffee time. So I'm going to promote it like nobody's business, and I'm going to get the word out and say, hey, come to my munch, come to my coffee time. 30 people are going to show up at my munch. Okay, that's fine. Leadership, on the other hand, is an art. It is a question of being able to help people to know how and when to do the right thing at the right time. It's also the difference about knowing how to help people understand that maybe this is something that I don't need to step in the middle of, that I am not qualified to provide you with the counsel that you need. Strong leaders know and understand that they don't have to have all the answers and they don't have to know exactly what to do all the time. What they do, though, is admit they're human, not be afraid of making a mistake, but when they don't have the answer or know the right direction to go, they can help that person find the resources or the people that can provide them with that information, and then they grow together as a result.
Couldn't agree with that more.
I think also, following that train of thought, that to be a person who is a quality leader, and I'm sure there are some that are not, but to be a person that is a quality leader, you would temper your actions and your comments and keep them in a positive vein. I think that's important too, and keep the negativity to a minimum, because I think negativity will grow much quicker than positivity, and I think it can be toxic to a community.
That's absolutely correct. I couldn't agree with you more. When I teach classes for aspiring fire officers, one of the things that we illustrate and we discuss is that there is a proper time and place to critique, and there's a proper time and place to congratulate or positively reinforce. All right? Praise somebody in public. If you've got something positive to say about something they've done, growth, whatever, something that's positive in nature, put it out there. Let the people know how proud you are of them. If there's a critique issue, a challenge to be addressed, a problem, whether you're addressing, hopefully if you know, we look at the forums that we're on and rumors fly like nobody's business, uninformed opinions fly like nobody's business, things that can create a negative connotation within the community and create that negative rift, that public forum of any type is not the place to do that. You have a challenge, you have an issue, critique somebody privately, but at the same time, make it positive. When I teach classes involving various programs where we have to do a peer review or a peer critique, I always try to follow a process of positive, challenge, positive. I'll tell you good things that you did. I'll offer some constructive improvement opportunities, and then I'll follow it up with positives. We have to understand that, and Chrissy, you said it right, the timing and the placement of how and what and when you address is critical. If you've got something going on, and I remember specifically talking with somebody that was in a local group before she moved out of our area. She had something come, and she essentially decided to air dirty laundry on FetLife. And people, it took a one-on-one issue or an issue which boiled down to a simple lack of communication between the three of them, actually. And it got aired from a one-sided perspective in FetLife, in the middle of a busy forum. And within an hour, there were 40 responses of back and forth, and I scanned through this, and I saw how the initial point that had been brought up, all of these other people that had completely uninformed opinions, they didn't know the basis of the situation, they only knew about one part of the opinion because that's what got posted, and this became a whole big blow-up that drove a huge wedge right into the middle of the forum.
And that's where everybody polarizes.
Exactly. And so I got a hold of this person, and I put it straight out on FET because I wasn't going to engage in the discussion, but I put it right out on her, and I told this person, this is not the time, place, or forum to have this discussion. You need to pull it down right now. And she did.
And that's leadership.
And that's leadership. Now, I followed that up with a discussion with her face-to-face when I saw her at the next coffee time. And I talked to her. I said, look, I understand you were hurt, and I understand that you want a venting point. FetLife, or any public forum for that matter, I don't care if it's Facebook, Twitter, and available forums where so many people have access, it's not the time or place. What you're talking about is a problem between you and this person, so go talk to that person and say, look, this bothered me, and this is something I didn't like. But talk directly to them. Get it right from the source so you're not getting something that's not what you could say is factual. It's not firsthand information. You know, we telephone, tell a friend, tell a firefighter, and things can very quickly get twisted, just like in the telephone game. The message that you receive is nothing like the message that originated.
Yes.
I've said that so many times. Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
We're in violent agreement.
Yes.
You have a master's degree.
I have a master's degree in organizational leadership, correct.
That's fantastic. I'm sure you found that to be extremely helpful in your career. And as you relate to the kinky community, which is growing in leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
In your area, do you have a group that you lead or moderate or participate in?
You know, so I don't put myself in the moderator or administrator roles within the various groups simply because my vanilla life has me extremely busy right now. And if I can't make a proper time commitment, that's not fair to the people of the groups that I'm involved with. However, administrator, moderator, those are titles. They don't quantify or qualify leadership. So I don't have to be an administrator or a moderator to be a leader within a respective group. People that know me within the community know that when I come into the room, I'm there for them. You know, I take my roles and the way I affiliate myself very seriously. I consider my reputation. I consider who I am and what I'm trying to do for the community. And it doesn't require a title. I would much rather have the respect as a person than the respect of a title or a rank.
Makes sense to me.
It seems to me that you're following a leather path also. What I'm hearing is, you know, the commentary that would come from a leatherman. And I have to ask, do you feel that that's the lifestyle that you'd like to embrace as well?
You know, I have to be honest with you. Part of me going to self this August was really kind of an opportunity for me to refind my journey. I'll be the first one to admit that I had lost my path a bit and was trying to regain some of my roots. The master that presented me with my vest, she kind of let me know that it's okay to go back to basics. The people that were involved in Atlanta, the conversations that I had, having some awesome, awesome conversations with people that were leather masters, I really enjoyed that opportunity. And I think I spoke about it with my wife when I got home, I could definitely see the leather path developing for me. It's a journey that has been encouraged by people that I met in Atlanta, not just by my wife or by my own desires, just like the comment that you made, Chrissy. It's nice to know that there is a natural affiliation or association with my thought process and the wonderful people of the leather community, and that it represents the better qualities and characteristics of that community. When something like that happens, it's a natural fit to want to pursue that path.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I agree, and I think that it takes a lot of personal work and self-discovery and readjusting sometimes your thought processes, refining your thought processes, and how you look at yourself and your role in the community and what you want to do. But you can't just say, oh, I'm going to be leather today. I don't think it works like that.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Anything you do in life, you need to earn.
You're absolutely right. I would absolutely say that. And we joke around within the community about people that are, you know, we have such an influx of new energy coming into the community. And that's wonderful. We need that positive energy to come into the community, that new energy. But the problem is that this new energy coming in, they're calling themselves master this and master that. And we just look at them from those of us that are in the community, even if we are not leather masters or not necessarily masters or leather folks within the community. We look at them and go, what are you a master of? What do you know about this community? What do you know about history and tradition within this community? What do you know about the benefits of this community? What do you know that this community has to offer? And if you can't define that to where you have earned the title of master, you have no reason or no right to have master name.
Yes, I agree. And I think I heard a comment recently that just choked me. It was something like, it's not what we can do for leather, it's what leather can do for us.
Oops.
I just said, no, wait.
That is so far off center that we need to understand that nobody owes anyone anything in this life. Yeah, you can go out, you can buy a vest and say you're leather. That's a piece of a garment that you have purchased. For those that know me and all the public speaking that I do and all the education that I do, classes that I have written and developed, so on and so forth, Chrissy, you saw it itself. Mm-hmm. The ability to speak and get words out of my mouth is not something that I am lacking in. I'm in front of a group. I'm comfortable presenting in public, and I love doing what I do. This class that I created, this oops, uh-ohs, and oh-nos class that I created about when to call 911 and what to expect before, during, and after, when I first rolled out that class, at the conclusion of that class, in front of about 40 people, I got presented with my vest by a leather master, and it stopped me dead in my tracks.
It's a powerful moment. I agree.
You earned it. That's why you got it.
Exactly. I was, you know, had no clue it was coming. It was not even something that I aspired to be. And that's what gave it the most value. Mm-hmm. And once they presented me with it, and once I spent a little bit of time getting to know, the first time that I wore it out and saw the way people regarded me, that's when I got that first understanding of what it means to earn leather.
In addition to earning leather, you earned a mastery. To say you are a master yourself has less credibility than to say that the community calls you master.
You know, and that's a real great point. Woody, you're talking about that mastery level or that title of master, and I, to this day, would not profess to call myself a leather master. And I've said it multiple times in talking to people that I was honored and humbled to be presented with leathers by a leather master. I have not earned the title of master. I have not earned it. I have no right whatsoever within the community to refer to myself as a leather master, because there is a long way down the path that I have to go before I earn that right to put that title in front of my name.
However, you will, I would vouch for you, for my little voice. You do have the right to call yourself a leader in the community, and to be a leader in the leather community, I think, as long as you keep sticking to the same tenets that you mentioned earlier.
I basically refer to it through my core values. The fire service has core values of duty, honor, courage, tradition, and excellence. So I look for honesty. I look for integrity. I look for that characteristics of truth and empathy to share and care for the community, taking care of others. The way you carry yourself and the ability to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason, that's leadership. And quite frankly, you know, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for recognizing or suggesting that my path is the right path, because the people that have been in the leather community for a while and can recognize that, that's humbling. But at the same time, I'm honored to have those comments, to hear that people feel that I am doing the right thing and going down the right path, because I do profess to be a leader within my community.
You know, also it seems, and this is nothing new, all of us, and I'm sure everyone listening will agree to some extent, that there has been just a tremendous amount of new faces and new energy and young people coming into the scene overall. Uh-huh. And not all of them will be leather, and not all of them will stay, and some are probably not even kinky. They're just here because, you know, what is this thing I want to find out about? And that's okay. It's all good. But I think there needs to be guideposts and folks that will help them and lead them in the right direction. And we need more leaders, because I think the numbers coming in are just overwhelming. I would say I think your classes are very important.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. You know, you bring up a couple of good points. You know, you made the comment about all this new energy coming in, and each one of them is going to find their own path. You're going to have the people that grab onto it and hang onto it for life. You're going to have people that choose the leather community. You're going to have people that choose the kink but not the leather, or maybe both. You're going to have people that come in and they have no interest, but they just want to become a little more informed, and that's okay too. Leadership. You know, one of the things that we have to be careful of is that people want to rapidly jump on the title mentor. And I think there is a large scale misconception about what a mentor really is. You look at the definition of a mentor, if you're mentoring somebody, you're making a lifelong commitment to them to help them succeed in what they're doing personally, professionally. You're there as counsel. When you have that situation that comes up that doesn't apply to what's in the books, you have methods and means to go, well, let's try it this way and see how that works, because your experiences has taught you. So we have to be very careful. But for the people that are coming in, they simply need someone, in my opinion, that can inform them, give them honest fact. Make sure that they understand that what comes out of the majority of the printing presses and the very large majority of what comes out of Hollywood is not what this community is, not by a long shot.
Right. And even FetLife, let's not forget.
Correct. Yeah, FetLife is the same thing in a lot of ways. You know, there is a huge difference in somebody who can write, and when they write, they bring forth data, research, solid knowledge, solid background, for lack of a better term, writing for academia, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody who's writing fiction.
Right.
From our perspective, from the most success that we can have them to tears with it, not try to put them to sleep or anything like that, but at least give them a solid foundation from which to build off of.
Yes, I agree. That would be the correct approach. I think that's done, at least among the folks that I know. That's their intention, and they typically try to build a foundation for new folks to use as a springboard to uh-huh. find whatever they might like. I know I read a lot about different communities around the United States, and there's some that are hotbeds of just fucked upness, uh-huh. and they lack that solid foundation. And it's it worries me in our community as it grows. How is it going to evolve? Is it going to become watered down and the old kinksters are going to fade away and they won't have that succession of leaders to come in and fill the gap? It concerns me.
Sure, absolutely. And I would absolutely agree with it. It's something that I teach about or try to communicate in my classes all the time. Let's take this from a fire service perspective for just a moment. In the fire service, the average career to retirement is 30 years. Let's say it's roughly 30 years. So we look at it that over the course of a 30-year career, you will amass such a wealth of knowledge, experiences, things that have gone well, things that have not gone that type of a situation, and you will have an invaluable mass of knowledge to be able to profess. Now let's take the generation that's coming into the workforce right now. Research concerning the age demographic now entering the workforce suggests that age group, that workforce generation, has the capacity to potentially be the most productive workforce in history. because they were born and raised multitasking, multiple things going on. It's multiple remote controls and multiple windows open, and they're carrying on multiple conversations on their mobile device. So they have the capacity to be the most productive workforce in history. That's the positive. The negative side of it is that the same workforce that has the capacity to be the most productive is likely to change their careers, not their jobs, their careers, 6 times between the time they enter and the time they go to retire.
Wow.
So the challenge there is that the senior members need to engage and promote that loyalty and that pride and ownership in who they are and what they do. Because as I say within my community – within the fire service, as that 30-year veteran goes to walk out the door, we have to understand that the timeline approaches infinity, the chances of us leaving the fire service community or whatever it is that we do by death, retirement, or other form of separation is 100%. So we have to think that when I go to walk out the door for the last time and whatever it is that I do, how much knowledge is gone forever.
Right.
So my challenge then is to task the senior members and the senior leadership of our community and grab this new energy by the horns and sit them down and talk with them and get them to understand and engage them so that they come to know who it is that we are and what we do. Because in the fire service, where we talk about 200 years of tradition – understand, where did we come from? If we don't know who we are or where we came from, we have no way to understand who it is that we are right now.
Thank you. I've been saying that for a good while. Yes. You have to know where you came from to know where you're going to go. And you don't have to agree and embrace every single aspect, but you have to understand and at least respect it.
Absolutely. And that's it. We can agree to disagree on anything. We can look up in the sky together and we can have a discussion. And Chrissy, you can say that's a blue sky. I can say, no, that's a black sky. And we can have that discussion and we can agree to disagree.
Yes.
Respectfully.
Yes.
But if we don't know where we come from and we don't know where we are, if we don't know where we are, we certainly have no way to understand where we're going.
Yes.
And so that senior leadership, it's a dual component element. The senior leadership needs to engage. They need to engage the younger generation and give them that understanding and that factual basis. And then taking that information, the younger generation also needs to take that opportunity to seek out the help and learn their craft. The most successful firefighter there isn't the one with all the certificates on the wall. One that says fire officer this, I'm an engine driver that. No, the most successful firefighter is the one that becomes a student of their craft. And that's exactly what needs to happen within our community. If I get exposed to something I like within the community, I have the responsibility to become a student of whatever that is. The first time that I introduced to whips, I fell in love with them. So I've tried to become a student of whips. That's a journey even in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
Mark, some of the things that you're saying here really ring true. And when you say be a student of kink, of leather, of the lifestyle, we have so many leaders, mentors, masters that have made the journey ahead of us, that have plowed so much of this and made it available to us. We had people that fought through the dark 70s and the 80s when government was very highly trying to regulate kinksters and gay people and things like that, and they had very few rights. Listen to the people that have made the journey, learn something from it, and then move ahead yourself. And so go back and listen to Guy Baldwin or so many of the casts that we've done of these leaders, Cléo Dubois and Sybil Holliday. These people, quite literally, blood, sweat, and tears to be kinky. It's pretty easy right now for people to be a kinkster. You get a FetLife account, sign up and say, I'm kinky.
Yes, it's very easy. Anyone can do it. Hey, just add a little water and poof, there you are.
So let's do some work. Let's be a student of this and understand what we're doing here.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I discussed in one of my classes this thing called intention versus perception. You know, we may have the intention of wanting to learn. We may have the intention to try and convey our best interests and our best desires. But if that's not perceived by the person you're trying to convey your intentions to, their reality is not yours. And so intention versus perception becomes a huge element that we have to be concerned with, because perception for anybody, cautious to encompass 100% of anything, but intentions versus perception is one thing, but perception is reality for the vast majority of the people we get involved with.
Yes.
And that understanding, that lack of knowledge and information is what contributes to what I believe is, quite frankly, an incorrect perception of what our community truly is. You know, we can look back over the course of history, 25 years, you know, and we talked a little bit about this in Atlanta, Chrissy, but, you know, you look back, the adult entertainment industry is a $2.3 billion a year industry that nobody watches.
Right.
Right? Just ask anybody. So, they'll tell you they don't watch it.
Exactly. But $2.3 billion a year, you know, and we can look back 25 years ago to a cable TV show on HBO called Real Sex.
Mm-hmm. And the reruns are still on.
And the reruns are still on in syndication, and it's great. And I remember, you know, I was a little younger at that time, and because it was late at night on HBO, I decided I wanted to watch it, because that's when all the good stuff in your late teens and early 20s comes on. And so in that respect, the first thing that I watched, the very first episode, because I was purely curious as to what it was. Now think about that for just a second. What I remember watching that first episode out of pure curiosity. Now think about that in relating that back to our community. How often does somebody come in and just look at a munch or a coffee time or even an event or a con because they were purely curious? So I watched that first episode of Real Sex on HBO. And one of the first stories they had was about a series of pro dons, and their clientele was doctors, lawyers, CEOs, all these high power people that had turned themselves to this type of treatment. Here was the only form of stress and relief or release that they could get, because their whole life is focused around high-powered, high-stress environments where they have to be right and their decisions affect a lot of people. And so that was one story. And then there was another story about someone else who essentially took up erotic dancing to help save her marriage and spice up their love life. And a whole other area, section of the show spoke about different events, leather events and gay pride events that were happening in San Francisco.
Many of my friends are in that episode, by the way.
That's outstanding. So, you know, that curiosity is a good thing. It's healthy for our community to flourish and prosper and defeat that erroneous, realistic perception. Education, knowledge, and information. That's the key. That's what's going to help our culture and our community moving forward into the future.
Well, Mark, I have to agree on so many things. Leadership is what this thing's all about. And at this point, we're going to have to lead our way out of the episode because it's time. But I want to really thank you for coming on and sharing your leadership skills with us. It's been fantastic.
It's been great having you, Mark. Thank you so much. And I hope that this episode will be appreciated by those that listen to it, and maybe they'll be able to take some nuggets of wisdom away to process and implement in their own communities. Thank you so much.
Outstanding, guys. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been an honor and a privilege. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and share with you, and I certainly hope to do it again sometime in the future, and I wish you guys all the best.
Awesome. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
You have been listening to episode 147 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we learn about Wasteland, a BDSM site that tests limits.